Lyndall Byford works for the Australian Science Media Centre. After completing an honours degree in biotechnology, Lyndall joined the Shell Questacon Science Circus and promoted science throughout regional Australia. After completing a postgraduate diploma in science communication, she worked at a range of science museums and even in the UK at the Grant Museum of Zoology before joining the UK Science Media Centre. Lyndall's one of the presenters you'll be hearing at the Big Science Communication Summit. First of all, what's involved with your work for the Australian Science Media Centre? What's an example of a typical day when it comes to bringing together the media and science?
Well, I think the nice thing about working here is I don't think there is such a thing as a typical day. We certainly cover really different stories on different days, and what we might be doing from one day to the next changes dramatically. A lot of it involves scanning through what's sort of coming up in science and science news. So we look at a lot of press releases from journals. We'll contact universities to see what's coming out that week. And we do a lot of work really trying to give the media a sort of heads up in scanning everything that's coming out in science and really picking out the things that we think are likely to be the most interesting or relevant or useful for them. And part of that, involves, is it Australian or, you know, it doesn't have an Australian involved. So we do a lot of that. But then there might be a breaking news story like the fertilizer plant explosion or something like that that happens. And then it's really all hands on deck and we drop everything trying to quickly find out who are the best experts and who can comment and who's ready and willing and able to get out there and help the media on those sorts of stories. And then on the same day, we might also be running a media briefing that gives journalists the background that they need to report on, the DSM-5 psychiatry manual that came out on the weekend or something like that. So you've got to be a jack of all trades and a master of none, I would say.
It sounds fascinating and quite fun, in fact, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, it's great that you don't, when you come into work in the morning, you really don't know what's going to happen that day a lot of the time.
So what do you think has had some of the greatest influences, either positive or negative, in science communication in Australia?
Well, we're really focused on the media, and I think the last 12 months have seen, sadly, some pretty negative, changes for the media in Australia in terms of how science goes anyway. So we've seen a huge loss of journalists. I think the last estimate I read was somewhere between 1,000 and 1,500 in the last year. Journalists' jobs have gone in Australia. Some of those jobs have been specialist science reporters. So we've really seen a real loss in specialist science positions and health positions and environment positions across the media really broadly. And what that often means is you don't have those people with that expertise and that background in science in the newsroom pushing for a science angle on some of those really big stories. And often they're not particularly science stories. It might be, the drugs in sport side of things or the fertilizer explosion that is just, headline breaking news. But if there's not a science journalist in the newsroom or someone with science expertise and science background, then sometimes the errors creep in or there's angles to that story that the public don't hear about and they miss some of the key facts.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really negative change.
Yeah, yeah.
It almost makes our role even more important in trying to get science out to, what really is often a bunch of general news reporters who dip in and out of science as much as they might be reporting on crime or, Jennifer Anderson or Angelina Jolie,
yeah, exactly.
As it's been in the last week.
Yes.
And then I think the other thing that's probably still being a bit negative is the lack of freedom of some scientists to really speak to the media. So we still come across a lot of scientists who, have to go through overly complicated permission processes where they hit sort of brick walls in media management or communications or government or whatever it is that mean that they, even though they have the expertise to speak on the subject, they're prevented speaking to the media. So I think they're two kind of really big blockages that are still really negatively impacting the way that the public engages with science and scientists. So,
what do you think are some of the developments that excite you when it comes to communicating science?
Look, I think what's been quite cool has been to sort of watch this diversification of media and how, you know, that the way people are getting their news is dramatically changing, you know, and that sources of news outside of the mainstream are starting to have an influence and sneak into that kind of mainstream media. But also as a scientist, you know, there are what we see now is that scientists who have huge groups of followers on Twitter and Facebook, also the scientists that, you know, journalists are going to engage in their stories because they know that those scientists are on top of what's happening out there, you know, in the broader world and aren't living sort of ferreted away in their lab, not paying attention to anything else that's going on around them. So I think that that interaction between old and new media and how that's all blurring and changing is quite exciting to watch. And I don't think we quite know where it's going to end up.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Well, finally, the Big Science Communication Summit has five themes that it's going to be investigating during the event. Which ones intrigue you the most?
Well, I have to say that, you know, because we work with the media, the Beyond Tweets and Blogs one and looking at the changing media landscapes, probably the one I'm most interested in. I think, you know, we've had these kind of two camps in the past have been the people that love new media and the people that sort of still worship at the old media altar, if you like. And I think that's changing, that we're really seeing those two groups crossover, but you know, I don't think you can discount old media just yet in favor of new media. So I'm interested to see how the discussion goes then in the two worlds and how they are combining.